You can take out a snake's teeth, and it loses all of the sting of its bite. It loses its ability to latch on to you. Has anybody ever been bit by a snake before? Sick. Anybody been bit by a poisonous snake? Emergency room? Did somebody suck the poison out? That would have been cool. Did the snake latch onto you? Did you have to pull it off? What kind was it? Wow, cool. Where did it bite you? Awesome. Wow, did you keep it? No, you left it there. Did you kill it? They die when they lose all their... Cool. It was a baby moccasin. Yeah, a little baby. That's scary. Stay away from poisonous snakes. Anyways, unless they have their teeth removed, because in that video, you remove the fangs of a king cobra. It doesn't have any sting. It doesn't have any bite. It doesn't have any poison or venom. The venom of that snake can kill, but it loses its ability to kill when you take out its teeth. You can remove its sting. You can remove its poison. But here's the thing about our tongues. Did anybody this week hold their tongue? Did anybody do it? That's a little view. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you held your tongue this week, Sylvester, Beth, where are you? We need to get their names and give them some sort of a prize. So if you bit your tongue this week, if you can find Sarah Beth, she'll be at the bar right after Wake, and she's going to write down a list of names, and we're going to give you something special for doing that. But we're talking about our tongues. And here's what I want to tell you to start off. Listen, everybody. Now focus in. Our tongues, no matter what we do in our lives, we can never remove the sting and the ability to poison that our tongues have. We can never defang our tongues. Our tongues will always be a weapon. You cannot tame them. They will always have the capacity and the ability to sting other people. Your tongue will always have the ability to inject poison into other people's lives that doesn't just sting them and affect them in that moment, but poison affects you for a long time after. And you even have the power to kill someone's heart and their soul and their dreams with your tongue. Your tongue always has that power. You can't defang it. Maybe the only way would be if you were to rip your tongue out. And then don't get one of those little holes in your throat to talk to them, and you just have nothing, no way to talk. That would be the only way. But as long as we have the ability to speak and we have a tongue, we have the ability to sting, to hurt, to poison other people's lives. Look at this scripture from James. This is where we started last week. Check this out. This is so cool, so applicable to our lives. And this is the Bible. The Bible's good. Listen to this, James 3, 7 through 8. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. That's what we were just talking about with that snake. But no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. That's what I just told you. Every one of us has experienced this deadly poison that comes out of the tongue. You have felt it yourself. You have felt what we're going to call this morning, words that bite. And I'm just going to put that up on the screen so you can remember that. Words that bite. Who here has ever felt or experienced or heard words that bit? Anybody? Raise your hand. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for this, but here's some words that I've heard said to people, that I have said to people, that bite. Are you ready? Fat. That bites if you're fat. For me, I'm like, no, I'm not. Along those lines, overweight, out of shape, big boned, hefty. Stocky, soft, round, pudgy. Maybe you're not so smart or you say something stupid. You're an idiot. You're stupid, dumb, slow, challenged, behind, naive, retarded. Those words bite. You know, maybe you just don't fit in with the in crowd. And you're a nerd, a dork, a geek. You're lame, loner, loser, reject, outsider. Some of you have been called all of those things this morning. No, just kidding. hey, nerd, dork, geek, lame, loser. Outside of reject. But some of you guys have been bitten by those words. What about me? I'm a wimp, a wuss, I'm short, I'm a shrimp, I'm a weakling, I'm a little guy. He's a little guy. Little girl. No, I'm not. You've been stung by those words. Those words stung me for a long time and still do sometimes. You're a jerk, you tool. That's a weird one. Punk. Anybody ever heard, you suck? Anyone ever heard, shut up? Words that bite. You suck, you stupid tool. Stupid fat dumb tool. You can put them all together, and some people do that. They give you a 1-2 punch combo. Words. Everyone's experienced these words that bite and sting. I went around with my small group of guys, both my juniors in high school that I lead a small group with, that I've been with these guys since they were in sixth grade, also with the small group, community group of guys that are my age that I meet with. I have both of those things. I went through with them, and we talked about, hey, what are words from when you were in elementary school or junior high that you still remember as an adult? And we all went around, and we had specific words and phrases that people said to us when we were younger that we still can feel the poison of running through our veins. It still affects us as a 28-year-old man that's married with kids. I still have insecurities and fears and doubts about myself come up because of words, just words, that stung and bit me when I was younger. And some of you guys have felt that. When you were in elementary school, or when you were a young child, a parent, or an aunt, or an uncle, or an older kid, or another kid, or someone in your grade, in your school, said something that stung you and bit you and injected poison in your life that you're still not quite over today. You still think, maybe I am dumb, maybe I am stupid, maybe I am fat, maybe I am ugly, maybe I am a wimp. And inject this poison in your life. Everyone's experienced it. Now let's flip the coin over. Every one of us is probably guilty of injecting words that bite into someone else's life. Who have you done that to? Have you done it to people that you consider your enemies? People that you don't like? Joking around, have you done that to your really good friends? If you're frustrated or in a fight with your friend, have you done it? What about with your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters? I hate you. You're stupid. You smell. But these words just fly out of our mouths and they strike. And as soon as you say them, like a snake, as soon as it strikes, the bite has injected its poison. And as soon as they fly off your tongue, you can't get them back. And they strike and they bite. And we're all affected by it. If you're laying down, sit up right now. We're all affected by it and we're all guilty of it at the same time. Now some of you might be thinking about this, going, okay, well really, why are we even talking about this? Because it shouldn't really be that big of a problem, because whenever I do it, I'm just joking around. And if it bothers someone, they should have thicker skin. That bite shouldn't penetrate them and inject the poison. I didn't mean for it to inject poison. I wasn't trying to poison someone else's life. This isn't that big of a deal. They should just deal with it. I'm just joking. Or maybe you say something like, they had it coming. They did it to me first. They deserved it. Why is this a problem, David? Why should we even talk about this? Why does God address this in the Bible? I want to tell you two reasons why I think this is a big problem. Some of you already know it's a problem because you've felt the pain and you feel guilty for injecting the pain in other people's lives. But if you're not there yet, I want to show you two reasons why this is a big problem. And this is the main one. Look at James chapter 3 is what we're talking about. The scripture goes on. Let's look at the next verses. We've already read 7 and 8 that say people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. They told us that James told us it's a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes our tongue praises our Lord and Father. Wait, we just did that. We just sang these songs. And then sometimes it curses. Does it just say other people? No, it doesn't say that. Look at what it says. Look at the bottom line. It curses those who have been made in the image of God. You see what it says there at the top? Words that bite aren't just an insult to other people. They're an insult to God. Everyone in this room, see if this makes sense. Okay, you guys are young, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Up your brains a few notches here. I think you're mature enough to handle this. I think you can understand this. Everyone in this room is an image bearer of God. Do you guys understand that? You get what that means? Everyone in this room has a little bit of God's image in them. They were made in the image of God. That means they are, in some ways, like God. God made them to be like Him. And when we insult or bite another person, we are insulting or biting the creation that God made them to be after His own heart, after Himself. So words that bite aren't just, oh, that's wrong, you shouldn't hurt other people, you know, whatever. That's an insult to God. That should make you stop and think, wait a second, maybe I should be more careful and not so careless with my words. Here's another reason why it's a problem. It spits in the face of even what secular people believe to be the golden rule that Jesus gave us in Matthew 7:12. Words that bite just spit in the face of what the whole world believes this is true, not just the Bible, but it's from the Bible. Have you ever heard this? And everything you do unto others as you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus basically said, hey, that whole Old Testament that's really hard to read and really long, really boring, if you want to just sum it all up, it says this, do to others what you would have them do to you. And words that bite just spit in the face of what Jesus says is the sum of all the law that God gave us. And it spits in the face of just common wisdom that the whole world holds on to. And it's just a reverse of how things should be. We should never do to others something that we wouldn't want them to do to us. And the words that we say that bite and sting, we do not want those words said to us. Even if they were joking around sometimes, we just wouldn't. And so words that bite are a problem because they're an insult to God. And they spit in the face of the golden rule. So what do we do about it? I want to try to give you guys really practical wisdom from God's word on what to do about it. Who would admit personally in this room that saying words that bite to other people or about other people is a problem in your life? Raise your hand. Who? Okay, hands down, there's a lot of people. Who'd say it's not at all a problem? Never. None. Okay, good. So you guys need this practical advice. And I'm going to give you three things, and here's another freebie. I told you this last week. You can choose not to remember these three things, but I'm going to give you one at the end that you have to remember, but do your best to remember these three things. Here they are. The first thing you can do is start with your heart. Here we go. We read James 3, 7, 8, 9. Look at verse 10. We're still in James 3. So blessing and cursing, right? Praising God and then biting other people. Come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Okay, the answer to both those questions is no. Or does a grapevine produce figs? The answer to that is no. No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. What this is saying is this. If you have words that bite coming out of your mouth, if you have poisonous words coming out of your mouth, that means that those poisonous branches, those poisonous fruit, is coming out of a root and a tree of a poisonous heart. So if you guys want to fix this problem of insulting God and spitting in the face of the golden rule and biting and injecting poison into other people's lives, you have to start with your heart and go, wait a second. Why is salt water coming out of this spring? Because my heart is salty and I want fresh water and I need to get a fresh heart. And you've got to start with your heart and you've got to start with God going, God, why is it that I am so mean-spirited? Why is it that I get so frustrated and impatient and angry with my brothers and sisters or my friends that these words just flow out of my mouth? It's about your heart. Notice I'm not saying, hey, you just need to have more self-control. No, you need to just get your heart right with the Lord and say, God, what is hurting me? What is angering me? What is frustrating me? What's going on in my heart? Because something's coming out that's a reflection of something that's not very good inside. Let me just give you a sneak preview of what we're going to talk about next week. Part of your problem is that the things that are going in your ears and your eyes are going into your heart and they're coming out your mouth. The things you're watching, the things you're listening to, movies, TV shows, music, other people you're around that you're listening to and watching, what they're saying and doing is going in your eyes and in your ears and it's going in your heart. And then guess where it's coming out? Your mouth, and it's stinging and it's biting. You got to start with your heart. The next thing you do is this. You have to practice the positive. Ephesians 4:29 is an awesome verse to memorize. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful. Only say what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That it may hurt those who listen? No, that it may benefit everyone who listens. When's the last time you just went out of your way to say something positive and encouraging about someone else? That you practiced it. You said, you know what, today I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to say something complimentary or nice to the brother and sister that I'm usually stinging and biting. Then I'm going to say something complimentary or nice to the person that really bugs me at school or to the person that I've been picking on. Practice the positive. And lastly, do this. If you don't have anything nice to say, finish it. Shut your mouths. You stupid, dumb, fat, ugly morons. No, just kidding. Proverbs 10:19, what does it say? When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds... Everybody hold your tongue and say it with me. He who holds his tongue is wise. If you don't have anything nice to say, if you can't practice the positive, then just stop saying stuff. If your heart's not right and you're trying to do some work starting with your heart, but stuff's still coming out, learn to hold your tongue. And then practice the positive and get your heart right. All three of those things you need to do. Here's the one thing you have to remember. If you forget those three things, you have to remember this. Every time you open your mouth, you have a choice. Every single time you open your mouth, you have a choice. You can say words that bite or words that build. One or the other. Remember that. Every time you open your mouth, you've got a choice. You'll never be able to eliminate the power to take out the fangs of your tongue. Every time you open your mouth, you have a choice. You can say words that bite or words that build. And let me tell you guys, words matter. This matters. I'm going to close with the video and then we'll wrap up. Watch the screens and read along. On the day of judgment, men, all of us, men and women, will have to give account for every careless word we said. And to ruin someone's life, all it takes is one word. So when you open your mouth, are you going to say words that bite or words that build? Because I think the opposite is true. It might just take one word to turn someone's life around. And all of us have this very powerful thing inside of us, and it's right under your nose, and it's your tongue. Are you going to use that power to build others up or to tear them down? The choice is yours every time you open your mouth. Let me pray. Dear God, I want to just start off by praying for the students out there that have been bitten by words that sting and words that have injected poison into their life. And I pray that they would hear your words, the words that we looked at this morning, that we are creatures created in your image, the words in your Bible that say that you have adopted us as your children and that you've loved us enough to send your only Son to die for us, that we are the treasure and the prize of your creation, that you long to be with us and you're preparing a home for us in heaven. I pray that those words would build us up and encourage us, and I pray that the words of those around us would do the same. I pray that each of us would be people who say words that build more than we say words that bite. Would you transform our hearts? Help us to practice the positive. And help us to hold our tongues and keep our mouths shut when we don't have anything nice to say. Would you give these students constant reminders of this week? And would you help them have great discussions in their small groups about how they can apply your word to their life? I pray this thing in Christ's name. Amen.